The United States of America, known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called the United States home. The United States has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries. The United States has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. With her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the United States. In 1993, she sent relief teams to provide financial and material assistance to the victims of the six Midwestern states that were severely affected by heavy rain and flooding. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. The following year, at another benefit concert, One World of Peace Through Music, she once more contributed generously, with two charity organizations being the recipients of her love. St. Jude Children's Research Hospital received $150,000 and the Starlight Children's Foundation received a check for $100,000. Additionally, in the face of one of the worst human tragedies ever to occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai responded immediately, sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. To this day, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, and Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai entitled, We Cannot Have Peace Until All Is at Peace, in Oregon, USA, on December 4th, 1993.
Most of us forget. You keep asking me, how can we be immediate enlightenment? When we meet you. No, you were already enlightened before you meet me. Just you don't know it and you forgot because you identify yourself with Mrs. So-and-so who works 8 hours a day, who has 3 children and who are angry sometimes and who are loving sometimes. All this is not you. You just accumulate it and you just react to the environment and the necessity of the time. But it's not you. We were not born with all this. Therefore, we are truly God-like, at least God-like, if not God and God-like. But we are also God, part of God. Actually, we are God. So even mundane life became better after we make use of our real power and wisdom. Otherwise, we just keep using what we know, well, what we learn from the society. And it is second hand, third hand, fifth hand, hundredth hand. It's passed down all the time, and we sometimes don't prove whether it is really efficient for ourselves. So it's better that we use the original intelligence. So everything will come. Every of our latent abilities will surface. Every of our loving, hidden nature will emerge. Every of our talents will just come out, like from nowhere. That's why in the Bible it is said, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all the things shall be added unto you. That I can testify. Yes, I want to tell you that we are God, okay? You may not believe it now, but think about it when you come home. Because we are breathing in God, we are living in God, we are born in God, from God, and we have come back to God. Where can we come from except from God? Do you think we come from the carpet or from the ceiling? Or even from the drop of blood that your father sent to you before you were born? Or is it the food that you eat that make you become you? Is that so? Then we call ourselves beef burger, cabbage, or vegetable grocery shop instead of a person or a human being with all intelligence. If you give a drop of blood from your father to the dog or to any of other things, will it make become a human being? No. See? So what is it that make we the way we exist? It is God power. And it's all over the universe. It's in the air. It's everywhere that we walk, everywhere that we stay. It just happened to house in this instrument. And it houses itself just like electric power. It houses itself in a bulb of light or in the refrigerator or in some motor generator. Yeah? But the electric power is all over. It's the same power everywhere. It houses itself in some instrument only. Therefore, the God power is housed within us. We are one of the instruments that happen to contain the God power for a while, you know? Catch it, just like a current of water and just flowing from the waterfall or from a mountain very high. And somebody happened to dig a hole, yeah? Or dig a swimming pool and get the water into it. And the water come in and out again, you know, connected with the river. And the water in the pool is the water in the river. In Hong Kong, dig a swimming pool. Actually, we didn't dig it. You know, the Hong Kong where I stay. It's a mountain. You're surprised to know that Hong Kong has a mountain, very quiet. Next to a 100-story building. You just walk 5 minutes out and you see the whole Hong Kong. And you turn in 5 minutes and there's a retreat mountain with all fruit trees and green and beautiful and quiet. Yes, that's where I stay, in Hong Kong. Now in Hong Kong we have a kind of mountain, so there's many levels, terraces, one level after another, yeah? So, in the two different levels, yeah, we surround it with rocks and cement and we make it natural looking, you see, like this. So we cover this and we lead the water from the stream nearby into the pool, yes. And under the lower layer, I grow vegetable. That is when I have time. I don't always do that. I grow vegetable, a big one, you know, and the water from swimming pool, when I swim, it will come into the vegetable, so I don't have to work too hard. Mm. And the water just come in and out all the time. And the water is always fresh. Yes. Of course, we clean it now and again to take out all the moss that cover our pool. You know, we put a lot of pebbles, big pebbles, and shining, beautiful, like ornament pepper. Very cheap, $1 for 10 kilos, but beautiful. And put it in the water and sometimes it cover with green, so we wash it, that's all. And then fish come in also. There's some kind of fish that come into our pool. Because about 2,500, 2,200 US dollars. 2,200 US dollars, yes. For one fish, but that big. Yeah, it can grow that big, but not much difference. And he's a kind of very stupid pea fish. But he surprised me one day. Because it's supposed to be a stupid fish, you know, very slow and do nothing. But because he's a very rare species now, many people want to catch him and sell him, but we don't, okay? We don't make money out of that. We protect them. So nobody can come in our territory and take, because in our territory, full of these fish. Now these fish are very special. On top is brown, dark brown, and underneath is bright orange spot, you know, under his stomach and hands and all that. And he can swim in the water as well as on the dry land. He can survive on both. That's why people like him. And I thought he's a very stupid fish, but one day they surprised me because they can talk with each other lovingly, just like a loving couple, you know. One is a kind of angry and turn around and he just keep following. You know, just stop him in the front and then look at him in the eyes and do like this. Yes. You know, like, well, like when you want to make up with your lover when she's angry, you know. That one. Sit like that. Just follow. Just follow and then just stop right in the front and look into the eyes. And just keep looking like this. Can you believe it? And I was so touched and I thought, my God, I'm sorry. I apologize for thinking that you're stupid. As you make a better lover than we. So after a while, you know, the female agree, you know, and then so they both, you know, swim with each other and no more of this argument. And one day he surprised me more because he was, you know, it's very slow fish, like very slow action fish, you know, stupid like. Like this, very slow in the water and very slow. But then when I come to the pool, I saw one of that, I was surprised. And I said, hey, you there, come up. And just a joke, you know, and then he came up. And I just zip like this, yeah, to me, to where my hand, you know. And then he touched and then he came down back again. I said, hey, can you understand me? Then come back again. And then he did, 3 times in a row, just to show me that he's not stupid. Now, I spent all day repenting to God and apologize to this creature. So I feel very bad. But it was good, you know. There were other witnesses with me, not that I tell the story alone. I think some of you... You remember the fish that come from the pool 3 times? Yes, yes, yes. He was there, yes. And he tried to go and fetch the camera, the movie camera. But when he see the black eye of the camera looking at him, he said, mm-mm, I don't... I don't want to be on TV, you know. He didn't want to be famous. Probably he was scared. And I thought, that's right, that's right. I tell him, no, don't photograph him in this way because people will, you know, catch them more, you know, and make a commercial out of it and they'll be in danger, you know. They are already endangered species. So he's very intelligent, you see. He knows when to come up and when not. Yes. 3 times he come in a row, in 1 minute, you know. I say, come up, and then he come right away. And then he come back down, and I say, come up again, and he come. Just right where I am, you know. Not to, you know, sideways, just like this, you know, straight. So after you see all these things, it's good not to eat fish or meat, huh? Actually, like that. If we can love a dog, why not love a cow or a pig? Because they are the same. Yes. So this is one of the reasons why we should be vegetarian anyhow. Love for all beings, extending love. Enlarge our love, enlarge ourselves to the whole universe.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol levels, reduce type 2 diabetes, prevent stroke conditions, reverse atherosclerosis, reduce heart disease risk 50%, reduce heart surgery risk 80%, prevent many forms of cancer, stronger immune system, increase life expectancy up to 15 years, higher IQ, conserve up to 70% clean water, save over 70% of the Amazonian rainforest from clearance for animal grazing. A solution for world hunger: free up 3,433 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consume one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production. Reduce pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintain cleaner air. Save 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year. Stop 80% of global warming. Plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
It's actually, we shouldn't even, you know, cut the flowers or eat the vegetable. But still, we have to do what is minimum, you know, what's less suffering. Because actually the flower, when we cut it, it can sprout again and make more flowers. And vegetable, when we cut a branch, it can sprout, grow into a few more branches. So it's not that bad, yeah? Even though all beings have feeling, but plants has the least feeling. Because 90% of the constitution of vegetable is water. That's why they have less consciousness than animal or human being, because we human beings are the combination of many things, you know, and that is the field that gives the good environment for intelligence to activate. For example, even though you are very intelligent, but you need a good computer in order to program some intelligent things, right? Similarly, God power needs this body, which is a composition of different elements, in order to manifest inside into the outer world. Yes? That's why we have more feeling, more intelligence, because God power can make use of many of our tiny instruments within ourselves in order to, you see, spread out the blessing, the message, and the intelligence. So, in the plan, God power cannot do that because it's not enough instrument, that's all. Just like the bulb here, electric bulb is 100 watts, then the electricity can be brighter than in a 20 watt. So, if we damage a 100 watt bulb, it is more expensive, more wasting than a 20 watt bulb. So, this is what we try to economize. That is why we should eat the least conscious, you know, thing possible, like vegetable. Is that logical to you? Is that okay? Yes. I don't try to push you into, you know, guilt or thing like that, but we discuss the possibility of why and how.
European Parliament supports reducing meat to lower greenhouse gases.
Call vote. Vote is now open.
Reduce your meat consumption or stop eating meat totally.
During discussions on greenhouse gas reduction goals, the Climate Committee of the European Parliament officially recognized livestock's contribution to global warming and recommended a reduction of subsidies to the livestock industry to curb methane.
My name is Jens Holm. I'm a member of the European Parliament. Please, be veg, go green, save the planet.
That's why to kill a human being is the most terrible crime, and to kill animal is the second to it. And plants is not much. You see, they can grow again, even from root. But the animal, even if you cut only half of his head, he won't grow again. Therefore, we have to believe things when it's logical, not because it's a guilt-inflicting theory or because, you know, we have to do that because some of the teachers say so or some of religion say so. I do not feel that we are unintelligent beings, that we could swallow anything, especially Americans. They are no-nonsense folk. They don't just eat anything. So we have to tell them whatever is logical, yes. Even if the people do not accept today, they can think about it later, yes. Now can you see that why we are God, yes? And God power is omnipresent, is all-pervading everywhere. And we are just one of the beholder, you see? Just like my swimming pool, that the water came from the nearby stream, lead it in by a pipe, and we have a hole underneath on top so that it will flow out again into the river, you know, without stopping a portion of the water. And the water in the pool, even though he's surrounded by stones and cement, he's still the water from the river, and he's connected somewhere other way, you see. So now, if our swimming pool is blocked, yeah, from connecting with the spring for some reason, then we have to unblock it, yeah, by some reason. Maybe the pipe is blocked, or the pipe is damaged, or the hole is blocked. Then we have to unblock it. So enlightenment is the unblocking of our obscurity to our own nature, to the God connection within ourselves and the whole power of the universe.
First question is, they would like your views on transmigration.
As I have mentioned earlier, transmigration is another word for reincarnation. That is a very Eastern terminology. And you don't hear that often in the Bible, because the Bible is also has been not always completed, as all of you know. And it's transmigrated for 2,000 years, so sometimes something may be missing there. And the true Bible is locked up somewhere, and we're never allowed to see it. But some of the newly digged, you know, from the antique site, and the Bible, in some part of it, have come out, and have some of it would mention about reincarnation. For example, I just remember one part, like somebody asked Jesus whether he was the reincarnation or continuation of the last prophets, like Elijah's, or such and such, yeah? They mentioned about two or three previous prophets before him who has already ascended. So Jesus did not answer yes or no. If it was wrong, the question, the conception about if reincarnation is wrong, that a prophet even reincarnate to help the people, then he would say, no, never, no incarnation. But he didn't answer. Probably he answered yes, but he was a very soft-spoken person. You see, so afterward there was no correction on that question. And as I understood that about 2,000 years ago, or over 2,000 years, at the time of Buddha and Jesus, etc., when you are silent on some topic, that means you agree. Yes. If people ask you sometimes three times and you are silent, or if you have an invitation from a disciple and you're silent, that means you accept it. So in that case, we can glimpse some segments of the Bible that about incarnation. Otherwise, it's difficult to prove that. Yes. And as you have read in many books about Jesus, that he has been in India and Tibet and study with Buddhist teacher and so on. And so for him, the theory of reincarnation must be very familiar. So we would be surprised if he didn't teach that to his disciples. Maybe the Bible, you know, some portion of it's lost, and sometimes translation not accurate and everything like that. Because the time of Jesus was very chaotic, the situation, you know. He has to sometimes hide for his life, and for the disciples practice in fear. So it's not that all the things of Jesus has been taught will be recorded. And also he has been teaching only 3.5 years before he was terminated. So how can he teach everything, right, in such a circumstances, such a fearful and limited circumstances, as well as a handful of disciples, right? It's very difficult. So now, transmigration is nothing very difficult to understand. For example, we live day to day, and yesterday you wanted to do something, and you could not, or you haven't finished it. So today you wake up and you try to finish it, or to try to find a way to do it again. Is that not so? Okay. So if anything we have not finished in our life, and at the time live in this mundane world, we still desire, we want to do it, and we feel very sorry that we have not finished it, then surely this desire is a powerful force that gives us another chance to do it again. So we be again and again given the physical instrument to do, to exercise our God power into this world, to manifest our wisdom into this world, until one day we finish all our design, and we're done with all our job, and then we've gone back home. So that is the situation of the people who desire enlightenment, because they feel they have nothing more to want to do in this world. Maybe their mission's finished. It just naturally pushed them into the position or into the state of mind of wanting to go home. They don't know where home is and what that is, but they want to return to the source. That is this, when people want enlightenment. Therefore, people say when the student's ready, the master appears. You can't force enlightenment upon people. Therefore, Jesus couldn't force it. Buddha couldn't force it. Not all the people in India were enlightened at the time of the master was there. Not all the Jewish people were enlightened the time Jesus was alive. Is that not so? Yes. Okay. So transmigration stops when we feel that we want to go home. that nothing in this world interested us anymore. As long as we still feel interested in something, and we couldn't finish all this in one lifetime, that means we still want to stay in this world. It's just a compelling force that we couldn't help it. Therefore, enlightened and not enlightened person are all alike. But the enlightened person live a better life, a smoother, with more wisdom, and he can do many things with less effort, you see. Many people ask me, how can you be a master? You go around the world and have lecture and taking care of disciples in different countries, and still you can do painting, compose music and sing song, make songs and all that. I said, well, that's easy. It doesn't take much time to paint, a few hours, you know. To compose the music, I composed 12 songs in 4 days. No big deal. And write poem and anything. When you truly inspire and have time, you just do it very fast, right? And to design clothes, this didn't take me 10 minutes. No problem. But before, I was a little bit enlightened. Everything is difficult. I didn't even have an idea to paint. When I paint in my high school class or somewhere, and I like to paint a horse and it looked like a turkey. So my teacher said, don't bother wasting the paint, I just give you the mark. Something like that.
I have a hard time letting go of old resentments with my husband's behavior. He suffers from his experiences in the war in Vietnam. He did not rush for treatment. I can do little. His pain is too great and he guards it too well.
That's why war is no good. It has a very vast effect on people, the winner as well as the loser. Because our nature is truly very gentle, you see. Most of the people, they eat the hams or the beef even, because it's all wrapped up and decorated, make like a piece of chocolate or cake, yeah? And they have no time to think of where it comes from. If it comes from a dead body, and if they have to kill it, they will never eat it.
Some of the diseases related to meat consumption. Cured meats and fish increase leukemia risk in children. Antibiotic-resistant superbug infections from a strain of Staphylococcus aureus, blue tongue disease, E. coli, salmonella, bird flu, mad cow disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, 90% of the population at risk. Pig's disease, or PMWS, listeriosis, shellfish poisoning, preeclampsia, Campylobacter, Clostridium difficile, diseases hidden in healthy appearing livestock. Some of the costs of meat eating. Infertility. Eating just one serving of meat per day increases the risk of women's infertility by 32%, with additional meat consumption increasing the risk. Heart disease. Over 17 million lives lost globally each year. Cost of cardiovascular disease is at least $1 trillion US a year. Cancer. Over 1 million new colon cancer patients diagnosed each year. More than 600,000 colon cancer-related mortalities annually. In the United States alone, colon cancer treatment costs about $6.5 billion US. Millions of people are newly diagnosed with other meat-related cancers every year. Diabetes. 246 million people are affected worldwide. An estimated $174 billion spent each year on treatment in just the United States. Obesity. Worldwide, 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. Costs $93 billion each year for medical expenses in the United States alone. At least 2.6 million people die annually from problems related to being overweight or obese. Environmental. Use up to 70% of clean water. Pollute most of the water bodies. Deforest the lungs of the earth. Uses up to 43% of the world's cereal. Uses up to 85% of the world's soy. Cause world hunger and wars. 80% cause of global warming. Plus more.
Some of the costs of milk consumption. Bacterial microbes, pesticides and enzymes found in cheese derived from the inner stomach linings of other animals. Up to 80% of the calories in cheese are from pure fat. Breast, prostate and testicular cancer from hormones present in milk. Listeria and Crohn's disease. hormones and saturated fat leads to osteoporosis, obesity, diabetes, and heart disease, linked to higher incidences of multiple sclerosis, classified as a major allergen, lactose intolerance, plus more.
That's why many soldiers, we talk about American soldiers in Vietnam or elsewhere, they had to kill, you know, against their nature, and they kill in front of their own eyes. The one who looks just like him, maybe a little shorter, different color, but it's a human being, and he knows that. That's why it affects him the whole life. And I feel very sorry for these veterans. I had tried my best, you know, to comfort them or to attend their meetings sometimes, whenever I can. And we have contributed $200,000 for those need special, you know, more special treatment. That's all we can do for now, for these few weeks or few months. And later we can do some more to help them. Or if you know, if your husband have any trouble, bring him to our center. Talk to our fellow practitioners or talk to me when I'm here. Maybe we can help individually, you see. Otherwise, we don't know how to reach out to such a person like your husband. And don't resent him. Help him. Love him. Tell him he can't help it. Tell him to come out, talk to other people, and maybe he get out of his dilemma, because it is very difficult for him to forget what he has seen with his own eyes. What I have seen with my own eyes, I couldn't even forget. For example, I came to America many times before, but I wasn't very close in touch with the American people, right? I must tell you the truth. This time I had more personal contact, like the press, the media, and the radio interviewers, the television. I truly got to know personally the people of America. And it rises in me the love for America and American people, which I never knew before. I guess this is a good affinity. Many of the disciples have meditated a group in thousands every week or every day in their home. So it's a little bit more positive. And I began to feel such a love in me, you know, for the American people. I don't know why. And also when we went to give things for the homeless people, you know, when I came home, I couldn't sleep for days. In fact, last night I couldn't sleep. I was talking to one of the close disciples, one of the men sit there, about the homeless people in America and elsewhere. I said, I have to do something. You know, in fact, I want to go into business to have more money in order to bring the economical atmosphere of the world into a higher dimension. I cannot see all this. I didn't feed the homeless before, so I didn't have the personal feeling. I saw them on the street, and every time I saw them, I give them something, for sure, you know, whatever we have there, and some money so that they can buy something to eat. But not the personal, you know, contact, like last time when we were in San Francisco, and also in L.A., you know, our disciples, I told them to go and feed them and give them blanket and things like that, and I myself went and give blanket to them. That is the time when I truly realized, this is not okay, you know, it's not okay. In this society, we dress well, we eat well, we sleep in warm house, we have good car, and we have electronic devices, and we have all kind of comfort. And our brothers looking like a beggar, you know, all muddy all over the face, and the clothes is all worn out and dirty, and he sleep with a plastic cover on his body in the winter night on the street. He could die any time, nobody care. And it hurts me for many days, and last night I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep until about 4 or 5 in the morning, and I couldn't even meditate. It was so overwhelming for me. That's why I feel a little bit very tired this morning. If you couldn't sleep and you meditate, it's okay, but when you're overwhelmed with sorrow, you know, that is very difficult. Therefore, I say to you, we are not okay. We cannot be okay as long as somebody else is not okay. We cannot overlook our sensitivity to all this tragedy in the world, and try to close our eyes and think everything's okay. It's not okay. It's all over. It's everywhere. We cannot avoid that. We must do something. So we have done what we can do, but we will have to do more. And I ask all of you to do more. Whatever you can, do it more. Help other people Maybe give him a shelter or food whenever he come around, or tell him to come when he need. At least like that. This guilt, this sorrow will not wait on our conscience the day we leave this world. Otherwise we have to come back again. And maybe we have to experience his experience in order to have compassion, to know what it's like to be homeless or to be suffer without any comfort and help. But this is relating to the experience and the sorrowful feeling that your husband felt, you know, the veteran that just mentioned. But he can't forget it. What he saw with his own eyes and contact with his own personal being, he cannot forget. Even I, supposed to be a spiritual person, you know, stronger in spirit and mental power of resistance, still it hurt me. It makes me cry many times when I contact with the refugees or the poor people, and even American homeless. And I know America has everything. I know the government will take care of them, I feel. But some don't take care. And I thought the Americans are very rich, you know, so there shouldn't be any of this problem, but we still have, so we are not okay. Don't you think so? Similar with the veteran, we can't resent him, you know, we have to only love him and give him time to heal. And even if he doesn't heal now, we have to allow him this remorse so that it makes him feel good. You know, after sometimes it will wear out. For example, last night I cried over the homeless people and I couldn't sleep. If you keep scolding me, say, you're nonsense, you have to look for the future, look at positive, you know. If you don't sleep, you make it worse in the morning, you have a lecture in the morning, etc. I can't help it. Even if you tell me this, it just makes me feel worse that you are so unsympathetic. I have no love and make me resent you more and sink more into my own, you know, misery or, you know, this mental attitude. Therefore, we have to just love unconditionally everywhere and every time to some people like that. They're wounded inside and it takes a long, long time to heal. If we can't heal, then better not to damage more, not to make the wounded worse. Okay, honey? I know it's very difficult, very difficult. It's easier said than done, but we have to consider many things.
It has been a joy to have your charming company on today's Words of Wisdom. Please join us again tomorrow for part 3 of We Cannot Have Peace Until All Is at Peace. And now, please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Golden Age Technology, coming up next right after Noteworthy News. Farewell and God bless.